Yes, Lord, we ask you to come and to be in our presence. Father, your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. And here today, we are praising you with our heart, with our voices, with our lives. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, for you are King. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
All right, you may be seated. Right now, it's my pleasure, it's my honor to dedicate little Ezra. So if y'all want to come on up. Here at Harvest Bible Church, we do not baptize babies. In fact, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says that we should baptize babies. In fact, it does tell us that we should bring the little children to Jesus.
Aw.
He just dropped his binky. Look at him. Anyways, look at little Ezra. I'm really uncomfortable holding babies. I don't know where to grab them. But I love the name Ezra. In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, Ezra brings the book, and there's revival. And I really associate myself with Nehemiah. But here's this little Ezra, my little grandbaby. And we're going to pray right now that at the soonest possible time, he would give his life over to Jesus Christ, and that mom and dad would be dedicated to raise Ezra in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. So please pray with me. Father, we lay hands upon little Ezra, and we pray that his little life, Lord, would be dedicated to you. Father, that he would grow to be a man of your word. Father, that he would live up to that name, Ezra. Be a worship leader, leading people in worship and revival. And Father, I pray for Desiree and Chris that they would constantly wash each other and wash their baby in the water of the word. Father, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, and thank you for new life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, see, I told you. I'm like, baby, how do I hold this? Here, baby. A son. I have another daughter in Washington. She had a baby as well. So I have 6 grandkids. Man, I'm racking them up. So I'm buying all my kids cable TV. No more grandchildren. Anyways, find something else to do. Anyways. Boy, they're going to get me, huh? Okay, if you would, please turn in your Bible to John chapter 21 as we begin to wind down our verse-by-verse look at the Gospel of John. I have broken our message into 2 parts, question and answers in verse 15 through 17, and qualifier and admonition 18 and 19. Please stand as I read our verses. We're going to read them, and then we'll rewind to pick them apart. So, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you gird yourself and you walk where you wish. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. You may be seated. Father, we pray your word would come alive. Father, we pray that you would teach us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Move in our hearts, guide us, direct us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I've entitled our message, Do You Love Me? And to get you up to speed, let's remember what's happened thus far. Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead. The disciples all have their encounter with Jesus. And Peter decides, that was amazing, that was awesome, Jesus is alive, let's go fishing. And so they go fishing, they're out there, they're fishing all night, they return with no fish, and Jesus, from the shore, about 100 yards out, says, hey, do you children, called them children, remember that? He called them children, do you have any food? And of course, they had caught nothing, so it was kind of like pouring salt in a wound. And they said, no. And he says, all right, cast your net on the other side of the boat. And they did. And then they proceeded to pull in so many fish that they were afraid the nets would break, but they didn't. And they come to shore, and Jesus has breakfast waiting for them, a very unusual breakfast, breakfast of fish and bread. And here in this message, we are going to see that at this point, Jesus shifts and it becomes about love. Do you love me? I ran across a story about Mother Teresa. It says, she picked up a man from the street. He was eaten up alive from worms. Nobody could stand him because he smelled so badly. She went to clean him and he asked, why do you do this? And she said, because I love you. That is just so awesome. If she had just kept walking by and just said, hey, I love you in passing, would he believe, would for one moment that person think, yeah, she really loves me. Look at her go. No. You see, her actions verified her heart. She could say, I love you, and he would believe it because she did what no one else would do, and that was to reach down to love. So today our subject is love, and I ran across a letter about love. Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I've felt since I called off our engagement. Please take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. love is in the air. See, here's the thing. Love, the desire of love is to give. The desire of lust is to take. But the desire of selfishness is to do nothing. And it's true. So often, yeah, maybe we're not unloving, but we're not loving at all. We're selfless. We do nothing. We express nothing. It's easy to say, hey, I love you, but it's harder for me to say, hey, I love you, I forgive you, and let's do something. Let me do something for you. This is the heart of the teaching today. The heart of the teaching today is saying, listen, don't lust and don't be selfish. Be loving. Be giving. And this is our response. So let's look at the question and answers in verse 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, first thing I want you to notice is he calls him Simon, son of Jonah. He has not done this in the 3 years of his ministry. He hadn't done this since the beginning of John, over in John chapter 1. When Peter's brother Andrew says, hey, we found the Messiah, and Peter comes into contact with Jesus for the very first time, and Jesus calls him Simon, son of Jonah. The reason why Jesus is calling him that and hasn't called him that since the beginning is because Peter has gone back to the beginning. He has regressed. Instead of progress, he has regressed. He has gone back to the old ways, the old things. And so he says, do you love me more than these? Now, there is some controversy. It's not really controversial, but there is some difference. Some commentators say that what Jesus is referring to here as the these, as being the other disciples. And some say, well, it's the fish. Well, I don't think it's the other disciples. Why? Because over in Matthew 26, when Jesus told him he was going to betray him, when he told Peter, Peter, you're going to betray me, here's what Peter said. Peter answered in Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. So basically, he said, the rest of these guys are clowns. They're weak. So he didn't love them that much. You don't put your brothers down if you have a great love for them. But he's elevating himself even above the other disciples. And he goes on and he says in 35, even if I have to die, I will not deny you. And then it tells us, so did all the other disciples. They all denied Jesus. They all did. None of them stood up for him. And of course, we know that Peter then rejects Christ. And on the third time that he's asked, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Peter says with an oath, he says, that I may be damned if I know Jesus. And then the rooster crowed and he ran off. He ran off into the night. But Jesus has come back to Peter to give him a chance to come back the right way, to get back in good standings. You see, God is always concerned with where our heart is today. We're all going to blow it. Every single one of us will blow it. Every single one of us at one time or another will deny Jesus Christ. But just as Jesus is going out of his way to reaffirm that he will never forsake Peter, he wants to tell you that today. I don't know what has happened in your life, what you have done. I have no idea. And really, I don't need to know. It's between you and God. But I want you to know this. He doesn't give up on you. He didn't give up on Peter. Mark writes, now Mark was very close with Peter, that the angel told the women, hey, go tell the disciples and tell Peter. And that's great. See, even heaven was concerned about Peter's heart and his standing with Christ and his feeling like a failure. So even heaven comes, the angels say, hey, listen, go tell the disciples Jesus is risen and tell Peter. Let him know. Now imagine from Peter's perspective for a moment, right? Here come the gals. Peter, check it out. Jesus is alive. He's risen. What? And some angels from heaven came and they told us that he was gone. He was like, really? Wow. And they told us to come and tell you. Oh, I cursed him with an oath. May I be damned if I know him. They're coming for me. They got my name. They got my number. But that's not the case. God is concerned about Peter because God knows that we're all human. We all fall. We all stumble. But there's that reassurance that Jesus loves us. Look, when Jesus hung on the cross and he says, it is finished, paid in full, that was all your sins past, all your sins present, and all your sins in the future. Now, that's not a license to say, well, I'm going to push it. I'm going to push the envelope. Let me see how much God's love can really cover. That's not how we're supposed to respond. But nevertheless, God does forgive more than you and I forgive. And he wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to know, hey, I don't give up on you. I love you. I did it all for you. I love this. Even in Luke 24, remember the two men on the road to Emmaus? They have the encounter with Jesus. And in verse 33 of 24, they got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those that were with them assembled together. And they said, it is true. The Lord is risen and has appeared to Simon Peter. They were all concerned about that because they all knew how far Simon Peter had fallen. And to think, listen, if God could forgive him, there's hope for me. How awesome is that? Isn't that the good news of the gospel? Look at even Paul. Now you got to understand, Paul and Peter had some words face to face. You know, and there are those times when, you know, amongst Bible teachers, you got to get in the face of those who know the word of God. And Paul and Peter, they had a falling out because Peter got off track again. But look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. For I have delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried. This is important. According to the scriptures, very important. He was buried, very important. Rose again on the third day, according to scriptures, very important. And was seen by Peter. Very important. See, Paul knew. Paul was like, hey, guys, listen. Peter saw Jesus. Jesus went to Peter to say, I will restore you. And that means something to Paul, because Paul said, hey, I am chief of sinners. I was running around killing you. Listen, who here has gone out and gathered Christians to kill them? Anybody? Good. Then Paul still holds chief of sinner title. Okay? Whatever you've done, it doesn't matter. God loves you and he's willing to forgive you. How freeing is that? How awesome is that? How much love is that? Don't walk away from God's love today. Embrace it, because he's ready to pour it out on you. More than you can handle, more than you can take. He says, I don't care what you've done. Look at what I've done to cover what you've done. I went to the cross. You are forgiven. Wow. Just love God. So Peter is forgiven, but he's asking him some important questions that we need to think about in our own lives. Listen to what he says. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Now, some say, well, it's the fish. Some say that it's the disciples. I say it's the fish. Because he's like, okay, Jesus is alive. Let's go fishing. The other guy said, hey, we'll go with you. So all he could see was fish, me hungy. He had the hungies, you know, or well, I don't know what he was going to do with the fish, but they went fishing. Sell them, eat them, whatever. He was going back to his old ways. And he continued, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Now, this is important. There are two different kinds of love that are being used here. In the Greek, there are different words. When Jesus is asking Peter, he's saying, Peter, do you agape me? And agape love is unconditional. There are no boundaries. But Peter responds, I phileo you, or phileo, depending on how you want to pronounce it. I say phileo because we get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. So he says, I phileo, I'm fond of you, Jesus. Jesus is saying, hey, do you love me unconditionally? And Peter knows, I've denied Jesus, so can I say that I love him unconditionally? No, I can't say that, but I can say I'm fond of you. I am. I love his honesty. You got to know. You got to love his honesty. I like this saying. What Jesus is saying, do you love me unconditionally? Here's a great saying. If you have nothing in your life worth dying for, you have nothing worth living for. Until you have something that is so precious that you say, in order to protect this, to cover this, I would give my life. Then you really aren't living. You don't have agape love. Can I tell you, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, I would personally lay my life down for this church or any one of you without blinking an eye. And God knows I mean it. Because I agape you. And here, there's also, by the way, in the Greek, there's a third type of love. There's phileo, which is fond of, kind of friendship love, brotherly love. There's agape, unconditional, and then there's eros. I just wanted you to know they have three types of love. Eros is erotic love. It's that physical connection that isn't really love most of the time. It's lust. But even with these words, these definitions of love, do you realize we have no idea what real love is most of the time? I can prove it to you. I went and I looked up some song titles. I've done this before, but I had to do it again. We don't know what love is. Listen to this. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Cause I'm addicted to love. Love is like oxygen. Love is in the air. I can't buy love. Must have been love. Can't hurry love. What has love got to do with it? You give love a bad name. It's a crazy little thing called love. I think I love you. Let love flow. Love will keep us together. 50 ways to leave your lover. Lost without love. You lost that love and feeling. Love don't live here anymore. Love is a battlefield. Love hurts. And finally, the first honest song, I want to know what love is. Because we don't know. Now, while I was looking for songs, I have to read you the lyrics of the ultimate of all time deep sentiment understanding of what love is. Listen to this. When I'm done reading this, you'll know what love is, okay? Here you go. I love little baby ducks, old pickup trucks, slow moving trains, and rain. I love little country streams, sleeping without dreams, Sunday school in May, that means the rest of the year he hates it, but anyways, Sunday school in May, and hay. He loves hay, come on. Oh yeah, and by the way, I love you. What a great list, right? Ladies, isn't that nice to think of your man loves you like an old pickup truck? Which, hey, in the desert, an old pickup truck is not useful. No air conditioning, it's hot, breaks down on the side of the road. It's not good. How about this? I love leaves in the wind. Okay, here's nice. Pictures of my friends, birds of the world, and squirrels. It's like, I love the sleepy in my eye, the mud that comes off my shoes. It's like, come on. Coffee in my cup as opposed to on my shirt, little fuzzy pups, old TV shows and snows, and of course, and I love you. Listen, we have no clue what love is. And of course, here, Peter doesn't either, but he's smart enough to know he at this point, he cannot say honestly, I agape Jesus unconditionally. I will give my life. My life is nothing without Jesus. He knows that much. So when Jesus asks him, do you love me? Do you agape me? He says, I filio you. I'm fond of you. And Jesus is like, no, do you agape me? And he's like, I filio you. But notice here, the qualification. Peter, to follow through with his love for Jesus, has to what? Feed the sheep? Tend to the sheep. It's kind of like James who says, hey, you say you believe in God. Ah, that's awesome. You say you have faith. Great. You say you have faith. You have faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. You see, he's not saying I'm going to do these works to be saved. He's saying I'm going to do these works because I love him. Him. Mother Teresa walking by didn't say, hey, I love you. No, she put her love to action. Therefore, when she told that guy, I love you, he goes, yeah, I guess she does. Beside the stink, beside the worms, beside the grossness, she kneels down to clean him up, and the only one in the world, Jesus Christ, besides our stink, besides our ugliness, our righteousness is filthy rags, besides all that, he leans down and he says, I love you. I'll clean you up. You're full of disease. You stink. But I love you enough to get close to you. That's the amazing truth of the gospel. God in beauty, in perfect splendor, stepping down to this world in a stinky, sweaty body to be brutalized by those he loved. You and I. Isn't that awesome? That is true love. When Jesus says, I agape you, listen, he proved it. He proved it. But what he's asking today, as we read these scriptures, what he's saying to Peter, he's saying to you and I. Some of us, if we're honest, have to say, Jesus saying, Randy, do you agape me? And there are times I have to be honest. And I go, God, man, if I'm honest, I'm fond of you. But Jesus wants us to agape him. And how do you agape him? You feed his sheep, tend to his sheep, right? Jesus said, hey, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. To feed the sheep, to tend the sheep. Now, some of you may be thinking, yeah, but he's talking to Peter, right? That doesn't apply to me, right? Peter's going to lead. You know, he's a leader. The day of Pentecost, he's going to give the message and 3,000 people are going to get saved. That's why he's saying that to Peter. Well, not true. It's not just Peter. Remember, in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go ye. That's everyone. Are you a ye? You're a ye. Go ye to all the world and make disciples. What's a disciple? Don't get confused. Disciple simply means student. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So you and I should go, hey, you know less than me about the Bible? That's cool. Don't worry about it. Awesome. I was there. Come alongside someone. Hey, let's talk about the Bible. Let's get into the Bible. Let's talk. Hey, let's serve together. That is tending the sheep, feeding the sheep. It's not just for me. That's just not my calling. It's all y'all's calling. Ephesians 4:12, that's our vision for our church. Equipping the saints, that's y'all. I say y'all. You say you guys, I say y'all, Texas. Y'all. Equipping the saints, because either you're a saint or you're an ain't. Now, I hope all y'all are saints. See, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, to minister to one another. It's for everyone, every saint, to minister. And so he comes to Peter, he says, minister. Now that sounds really hard. Minister, what is it? I gotta go to Bible college? I gotta what? Hey, these guys were fishermen, uneducated fishermen. And he says, I want to use you. You got a mouth, you got breath, you got a tongue that works. Even if you don't, use sign language, draw pictures, do a God dance in the rain, whatever you need to do to get the gospel message out there. Serve your brother. And here's the thing, it starts in here. They, the outside world, the unbelievers, they will know that we are his by our love for football. No. Shopping. No. Video games. No. Our love for pizza. No. No. Our love for one another. They will know that we are his. And so Jesus is saying, hey, are you mine? Do you agape me? Are you loving one another? Are you serving one another? Are you washing each other's feet? Because it starts here. This is training camp to go out there and be able to serve the unbelievers. If you can't serve those who love God, how in the world are you going to serve those who are kicking and screaming, I don't want Jesus? Well, first you tie them. You know. Verse 17. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said this to him a third time. Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lamb. So he said, feed my lamb, tend to my sheep and feed my lamb. Notice here he doesn't say fleece my lamb. Unfortunately, in America, there are a lot of pastors, a lot of churches that just want to fleece the sheep. I counseled with a couple recently, and they told me another church they were going to that all the emphasis was every Sunday was money, money, money. And it's like, really? The word, there's so much more to God's word than money. God doesn't, listen, I don't know about that church's God, but my God doesn't need our money. Our money is our opportunity to worship him. But he says what's important is that you love one another, wash each other's feet, take care of each other, and then it's going to be awesome. Remember this? Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out and sowed some seed. Spreading the word, that's the kingdom of heaven. When you and I, brothers and sisters, are out sharing the word of God, that's the kingdom of God. When we're out there giving out God's word, when we're feeding the sheep, when we're tending to the sheep. But notice here, Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time. God gave him three opportunities to repent of his three denials. But it goes beyond that. Because remember I told you that the first time Jesus said, do you agape me? And then Peter says, phileo. And then Jesus says, do you agape me? And Peter said, phileo, fond of you. This third time, you know what Jesus says to him? Okay, Peter, do you phileo me? And that's why Peter says, you know all things, you know I love you. Because now Jesus has lowered the standard of love that he's expecting from Peter, because that's all he can get from Peter. Peter was hoping that instead of Jesus actually lowering his standard of love, that Peter would be able to raise to the challenge of loving Jesus the way he wants to be loved, the way he deserves to be loved. But I love this. I'm excited. I'm encouraged by this. Even if you don't agape Jesus, even if you don't love him unconditionally, he can still use you if all you are fond of him. But it takes a restoration. It takes that Revelation chapter 2, returning to your first love. Jesus restores us by getting us to look square in the face at how we've denied him. That's what Jesus is doing. That's why he asked him three times. And he did it publicly. Some movies depict that Peter was by himself on the beach. They're just kicking some sand. And Jesus goes, no, that's not it. The other disciples were there. Jesus wants to publicly give him an opportunity to redeem himself, to say, no, I do love you. And wherever you are in your walk today, Jesus is coming up to you and he's saying, do you agape me? Or do you just, are you fond of me? Am I your bumper sticker, t-shirt, keychain? What am I? What is Jesus to you? Are you here because this is what you do on Sundays? You buying that stairway to heaven? It's no such thing. But are you seeking to love Jesus, love his people, love his word, love to worship? Are you on fire with a passionate love for Jesus? Because if you're not, get on fire. Catch a fire. Find that agape. Find that deep love. Jesus isn't asking for obedience, although obedience is there. He's not asking for repentance, although repentance will come. He's not asking us to take a vow or an oath. He's not asking us to change our conduct. He's simply asking us to love him today. The rest of that will be taken care of as we love him. It'll be wiped away. He wants us to follow him, but he wants our following to be motivated by how much we love him. I like this, what C.S. Lewis says. On a whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him. Ouch. But isn't that true? It's easy to think, oh, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible to... You know, it's like, awesome, I could sing that all day. But now, I love Jesus, this I know, with all my heart and all my soul. Hey, I just made a song. Anyways, copyright, it's recorded. No, I'm just... How easy is it for you to talk about your devotion to God? Can you say, I am sold out believer? I've done this test and I'm going to do it again. Revelation 3:15. I ask people all the time in my evangelism class, when it's someone who says, oh, I know God, I'm a good person, I'm this, I say, all right, scale of 1 to 10. 0 to 10. 0, you don't want to hear about God. 10, you're on fire for God. Where do you fall? I said, don't answer me. Most people say I'm between a 4 and a 6 in their mind. And then I read them Revelation 3:15, and he says, hey, because you're cold and not hot, because you're lukewarm, I wish you were one or the other, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. It's distasteful. It's distasteful to God when you say, I phileo, I'm fond of you, but I'll deny you in a crowd because I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be persecuted. God says, I don't want that. That's not loving me. That's not honoring me. That's not good. And so he comes to Peter because he knows deep down Peter wants to love God, wants to love Jesus. So he comes to him and he says, listen, let me tell you, you love me? Here's what you need to do. So we come to verse 18 through 19, the qualifier and the admonition. He says, most assuredly I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wish. And that's true. When you were not saved, or if you're an unbeliever now, you do whatever you want, you say whatever you want, you go where you want, and there's no conviction at all. You want to get high, you get high. You want to get drunk, you get drunk. You want to sleep around, you sleep around. But that's a scary place to be. Here, Jesus is saying that's young, that's foolish. Over in 1 John, that's called a paideia. That's a child. It's childlike. You may not even have faith. You may not even be saved. But he's saying, look, when you were a child, you girded yourself up and you went where you wish. You didn't care about nothing. James addresses this in 4:13 through 17. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that will appear for a little time, then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We got to run everything through the filter of God. And that's what he's saying. Look, when you're young, when you don't know God, what you do is you do whatever you want. You don't give him second thought. But when you are old, now this is specifically, I want you to know this. This part is specifically for Peter. However, it can apply to our lives. And I'll show you how here just momentarily. He says, when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he spoke this, he said to him, follow me. Now, he's talking to Peter because Peter's going to be killed. Outside the prison in Rome, they're going to take him and crucify him. And he's going to say, no, I am not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. Crucify me upside down. And of course, that's not where he wished to be. And so Jesus was telling him, look, Peter, right now you're acting young and foolish. And you're doing whatever you want. But I know that you're eventually going to be faithful. You're going to prove yourself to be faithful. And in that faithfulness, you're going to be crucified. They're going to take your arms and they're going to put you where they wish. And you're not going to want to go, but you will go. And you said, okay, Pastor Randy, you said we could apply that to us. How do we do that? I'll tell you how. When you surrender your life to Jesus, what the Bible says is we pick up our cross and we follow him. We crucify our flesh. I crucify what I want to do, and I do what he wants me to do. And what he wants me to do is love you guys as an expression of my love to him. He didn't ask him, hey, Peter, listen, are you going to stop chopping people's ears off? Are you going to stop that? Are you going to stop warming your hands by the fire? Are you going to stop denying me when you're worried? Are you going to stop fishing for fish and start fishing for men? The only service that's going to last is that service that we do unto the Lord that's done purely because we love him. Listen to this, John 14, 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So, I counsel people and they say, Pastor Randy, I don't feel God near me. Pastor Randy, I don't hear him. Pastor Randy, this. Pastor Randy, that. I feel distant from the Lord. There's your answer. He who has my commandments and keeps them. That's who loves Jesus. So, today, Jesus is asking you, do you agape me? Jesus is asking you, do you love me? And what you have to do, brothers and sisters, is you have to be honest with yourself and honest with him. Because that's why he's asking you to restore you, to bring you to a place where you and he can have an intimate relationship. If you've never fell in love with Jesus, give it up. It's a good thing. It's a great thing. There's no love like the love that Jesus has. Listen, you stink. You have worms, spiritually speaking. But he wants to get close to you and clean you up because he loves you. Let's pray. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for loving us, the unlovely. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you, Lord, that you can restore what the worm has eaten, what rust has destroyed. Father, thank you that as you didn't give up on Peter, Lord, you didn't give up on us if we would simply turn our lives to you.